This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kennison and Wong Xiaoning. It's 6 o'clock in the morning, Wednesday the 1st of July. And guys, can you believe that we're into the second half of the year? I know this has been the theme of the morning of my morning kind of preamble, kind of at 6, but it's just because I can't. Where did the time go?
I don't know. You know, I was just thinking about this yesterday, and I feel it's been a long 6 months. And I feel like it's the appropriate amount of time to hit the middle of the year. It just seems like a lot has happened, and we've all had to do quite a bit between political situations and the like.
Well, I don't know. It's like, where did the 6 months go, right? It was like we had Lanka Sheraton, and then before we knew it, we had COVID-19, and when we were locked in our houses for more than 3 months, and now we're starting to ease back into life, and then it was like, hey, it was like if it was a dream almost, a bit of a nightmare, but a dream nonetheless.
A little bit surreal, right? So, the hope is that people will be able to get back to some semblance of normality, but nevertheless, maintaining some level of safety and caution, because you don't want people to get complacent, and then ultimately you don't want a second wave of infections. But this morning, it is as another day as usual for us. And in this next hour, what do we have happening after the 6:30 news, Roshan?
After 6:30 news, a look at international stories. And today, we're paying a little bit of attention to Goldman Sachs as they want to appear to be achieving a resolution with regards to 1MDB. And I think this all really hinges on the fact that they don't want to have a guilty plea in here. So we're going to be talking about that. And if we have time, we'll talk about how the EU has added the US to hasn't added US to its travel safe list. So interesting developments there.
And I'll be talking about what's new in the new normal and what are you going to keep from the new normal.
All right, so what's new from the new normal in just about 15 minutes? If you want to weigh in on the conversation, remember you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have got some music coming up, and then after that, taking a look at the question of whether or not you'd prefer a video game style of shopping. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Oasis with Don't Go Away, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kennison, and Wong Xiaoning coming to us all the way from her home, because this is the new normal, guys, and this is the broadcasting life for us here as well. And this morning, we're taking a look at something that I think a lot of us have been perhaps doing a little bit more during the movement control orders, which is shopping online, or at least browsing the online shopping platforms, because there is apparently a new way to go about this in this new normal. Kanye West has his new website has turned shopping into very different from the Amazon type experience or the Lazada experience. It's more along the lines of a video game.
Yeah, so in his newest iteration of Yeezy Supply, he's basically trying to create a website that is different from the rest of the internet in that it's not boring in 2D and I would say straight to the point, but I guess he wants to create a more interactive environment. And I think it's modeled really basically after kind of like a game or simulation, right? So you essentially put clothes on the models, and there are different types of models depending on body size, body type as well. So you kind of it's an interactive feel. It's kind of like Sims in real life, but you're buying clothes, which is, I guess, Sims in itself. So it is quite interesting, and it is interactive. I'm just concerned about how much bandwidth this is going to take to use on my browser, but it is interesting. I mean, they're trying to basically make it different. They want to engage the audience better.
You all like it? Have you all tried it? My reservation about online shopping in the first place is I already spend too much time on those sites. So whether this means that I spend even more time, probably does, because it, like you say, it's a popular game. But I think kudos to him, because he does try to do something different. I mean, when you go onto one of those typical sites, I don't know about you, but you know, just searching for stuff is quite, it feels a little bit mundane.
Yeah, so that's the thing, right? It's really, it is interesting. It is different. It's Kanye West contrarian style, really. In fact, part of the design aesthetic of this entire website is that the background is blue. And if you look at it, if you read some of the interviews between his partner and him, it's like he doesn't like the color blue. But in Kanye, contrarian style, it's like let's do this. Let's try and make something out of something I don't like instead of something I love.
It's supposed to be a psychological color, right? Blue is supposed to be calming or something, like just like red is supposed to stir up kind of it can stir up I don't know upsetting feelings. I'm not quite sure, but I admit I am appreciative of the innovation that went into this because every kind of shopping platform is modeled after the same kind of basic, same basic style, right? And after a while, but the thing is, it works. So if it's not broke, why fix it is the question.
So that's the thing, right? All innovation that's ever come in the history of the world, that no one ever asked for that innovation. It's really hit or miss. You can do something and it works. If not, it doesn't. It really is about engagement. It's about trying to make shopping something more than just a utilitarian item, right? That's Amazon's way. Amazon's way is you come here, you buy, you leave. it's really all it is. It's high turnover. It's subscription models in the US that they're trying to do that. But really, I'm just wondering whether this works better because one of the biggest, I guess, hindrances to buying online is especially clothes, right? Is how do they look on you? And they've got a range of models. And this is actually quite interesting. So they've got a range of male and female models and they all have backgrounds. They're firefighters, they're nurses. So it's actually very interesting. So and there are a little bit of tidbits about their lives that they tell you through the story. So they're trying to engage you there and make you feel like maybe you are actually engaging with actual people. They're trying to make it quote unquote humane, which I mean, take it how you want to take it.
Okay, like, I mean, realistically, I would probably flip through some of the backgrounds, maybe two or three, and then I would get bored. And then I would move on to the point of the shopping experience, which is the clothes. But then, that's the thing, right? Because we are seeing retail, even in physical retail, moving towards a more experiential style, right? You walk into a brick and mortar store, not necessarily anymore to see the full catalog of what they have, because you can do that online. You go there to touch, to feel, to try on, although you can't try on right now, you know, with SOPs in place. So I wonder whether this, you know, this kind of video game style of shopping means that you are transitioning that experiential feeling into the online space. Kind of, you know, just like how virtual reality is kind of starting to catch on when it comes to just the wider gaming industry, right?
So that's interesting, right? So we've got AR, you've got VR. These are all things that are being developed further. And I don't know, maybe it's just the exposure to this idea. But the more I think about it, the more I kind of like the idea of playing around with it. I don't know if I'm actually going to shop anything. As far as I'm concerned, Yeezy is way out of my price range, but it is something I wonder if someone like Uniqlo used it, would I be more interested in trying it out, especially if you've got variety and stuff.
Well, it's different strokes for different folks, right? Clearly, there needs to have different retail experiences for different people, so I think that's what they want to achieve. And it's aspirational shopping. So you look at this website, you think, this is something I want to buy. Maybe I don't have the money now, but later.
Absolutely. So this is the question, really. If we saw, this was not solely Yeezys. If you saw this kind of video game shopping user interface being applied to a wider kind of shopping platform, would you actually prefer this kind of a style of shopping? Do let us know. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got some messages coming up for you, and then we're taking a look at how habits may have changed during the MCO. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Digital Witness by St. Vincent, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Roshan and Xiaoning. 6:18 a.m, Wednesday, the 1st of July, and it's been three and a half months, more or less, of the movement control order. And now, obviously, that movement control order has been relaxed and we're in the recovery period. But I think a lot of habits have still continued on a personal basis, at least for me. I find that I'm a little bit more paranoid every time someone is within arm's reach of me. You kind of tense up, your shoulders kind of go up around your ears, and you have to bite down on the urge to say, okay, please move a little bit further away. I don't really want to be contaminated by anything that you have. So the question is, I basically assume that everyone is kind of, you know, infectious. So which is not a bad way to go about life right now, right? So the question is kind of, after this COVID-19 is over and a thing of the past, which eventually it will be, what kind of habits do you think you will have retained from undergoing this global pandemic?
I guess that's the million-dollar, billion-dollar, some-dollar question, right? Because everyone's trying to predict what kind of habits kind of retain themselves and what becomes the new norm. Every big event that happens changes the way we work and live. You could see that line coming there. But, you know, but it's true. Delivery has become more prominent now. A lot of people who were staying away from home delivery, whether it was food or for some other form of thing, whether it's e-commerce, are now more inclined to use it. And how that plays into the fabric of our society will be seen.
Yeah. Shanning, what about you? You know, what kind of habits have you picked up during this MCO time? And do you think they'll stick once everything's more or less back to normal?
I think for me, the one thing I will probably continue doing is exercising in the morning before work.
Yeah, yeah. That's the question, right? What's going to stick? So things like working from home. Now, working from home was great at the start, but it really just, I still prefer overall working in the office, but I like the option of working from home when needed, because there's just something very organized and systematic about coming to the office and getting the work done. It just turns you into the office mode. I still struggle with it's ups and downs, but from week to week, I struggle with the whole working from home element. Mm-hmm. Because one, your bed's nearby, my Xbox is close to me as well, but also it's just as much as you can create a workspace, I'm not used to working from home. I know friends who are in the freelance life who've been doing it for 10 years. Now, they've built those habits over 10 years. I can't expect myself to build those same habits or at least that same level of consistency after 3 months.
Yeah, I guess for me, you know, it's perhaps not so productive a habit, but I have rediscovered the world of online shopping, and specifically shopping on platforms, you know, those aggregated platforms like Lazada and Shopee, you know, because I admit I enjoy, you know, going out to a mall and just, you know, walking through the aisles and seeing all the pretty things in the windows. And obviously during the MCO, you couldn't do that because you couldn't leave your house outside of, for us, essential services outside of coming to work. So, you know, on days when I was feeling, okay, I'm a little bit down, I need something, I need kind of a pick-me-up, I kind of explored the online platforms I hadn't before, and now I've kind of discovered that they're really quite useful and convenient, and it's not necessarily a great thing for my bank balance, but I guess it's that discovery of that convenience that it's difficult to let go, because when you find that other things, you know, the old habits that you've had are perhaps take a little bit more time consuming, require a little bit more effort, you know, the easier way may be the one that sticks.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not entirely convinced by online shopping, except for kind of like the regular routine utilitarian stuff. I still, like, I bought a MacBook recently. I didn't buy it online. I went to the store and bought it because I want that instant gratification. I want, the minute I pay for that item, I want to carry it home with me. And sometimes when I've bought headphones online before, I mean, it's just not as exciting and not as satisfying. It's mm-hmm. nice. You get it comes in the mail, but I don't like not having control over the delivery period. And that's the thing about Malaysia, right? Like in the US, you have next day delivery. That's a whole different ballgame. In Malaysia, we don't have that.
Yeah, but I kind of view it nevertheless like a present, you know. I don't know when it's going to land on my doorstep. I don't know which one it's going to be.
You are more patient than I am,
when it lands on my doorstep, but you know, hey, when it does, I'm happy. Shanning, what about you? You've also done some online shopping outside of and before this you were also quite a shopper, right?
Yeah, always been. But I think the one thing that Malaysians should continue is this habit of kindness.
The habit of kindness. Yeah, it is true. I think I think over time you have kind of seen people helping one another out, right? Especially, I think the movement control order and lockdowns around the world, you did see people kind of being compassionate to their neighbours. Like if you have an elderly pair of neighbours whom you know are afraid of going to the grocery store because they're afraid of catching COVID-19, you
essentially
do it for them, right?
Re-establishing community, right? I think that's where societies were built on communities. Then as we progressed and became more, I guess the way we didn't have to rely on communities as much as the governments and society was built up. But now it's nice to see that, and it's great to see.
Absolutely. But do let us know what you think. What kind of habits do you think you're going to keep coming out of the movement control order? You can WhatsApp us 01878988999 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got the 6:30 news bulletin coming up. But first, here is Bob Marley and the Wailers with Three Little Birds. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Shout to the Top by the Style Council, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisen, and Wong Xiaoning coming to us all the way from her home. And this morning we're taking a look at some international stories since after the 6:30 news, particularly what's happening in the US, because in the never-ending 1MDB saga, Goldman Sachs appears to be trying to get federal prosecutors to ease up on them for their role in the scheme, in the 1MDB DB scandal. So the investment bank's in the final stages of resolving it's basically its biggest legal threat in a decade. And it could even see a potential guilty plea for the first time in their history.
Yeah, that seems to be the contention here, right? I think Goldman doesn't want to file that guilty plea. But at the same time, I think within the Department of Justice, this is a real contention there. And to avoid such a penalty over its work in with regards to 1MDB, Goldman has appealed to the Justice Department's highest ranks. This is the department's number two, Jeffrey Rosen, has been directly involved in the case, which has been overseen by Attorney General William Barr. And Barr actually obtained a waiver because his former law firm represented Goldman. If Goldman if Goldman escapes without a guilty
plea, US.
Sorry, Xiaoning, we didn't catch that there. But essentially, if Goldman escapes without a guilty plea, it would be, I think, it will be seen as a victory for the bank, because right now, I think that's the biggest worry for them.
I think
it's just, basically Goldman doesn't want to admit any guilt because it's like a loss of reputation. So I think they'll do whatever they want to avoid this guilty plea.
Yeah, I think this is they're also separately negotiating a settlement with authorities back here in Malaysia, but who have said that they would reject offers of as much as $3 billion, in contrast to a previous administration that had floated lower figures. So it's definitely going to be an interesting time to be in Goldman Sachs and to watch the 1MDB scandal unfold over in the US courts. But the US has, of course, had a whole host of other problems stemming from the COVID-19 pandemic, because they have some of the highest case numbers in the world. And they've also now been excluded from the EU's initial safe list of countries, which I'm not really surprised by, considering the outbreak that's happening at the US. I mean, I think from almost any objective perspective, the US is far from safe from the pandemic at this point.
Yeah, and I think there is a whole situation around, a whole situation around how the list plays out, right? So essentially, they're being excluded from this cool kids club, and Europe does want to start traveling again. Europe as a continent relies on people being able to move around freely, and they do a lot of business with the US, but it is a concern, Lynn, as you mentioned, the fact that the U.S. doesn't have it under control at this point. The U.S. is a big country, right? Mm-hmm. And each of the 50 states runs it differently. But there is a lack of leadership from the top in terms of guiding towards what direction to take. I mean, in the U.S., COVID-19 has become a political issue as opposed to a health issue, right? The fact wearing a mask has become an infringement of your freedom of speech, of your rights, and it's
your
a very,
freedom of choice or expression, yeah, freedom of something.
It's very interesting, and it just, I mean, it's good on the EU, but I wonder how this plays out, because this is specifically for leisure and business or business travel, and I wonder how this plays out for the US being excluded.
The best thing for me here is that China has been provisionally approved for this safe travel list, right? So could talk about egg on the face of the US, which is embroiled in this kind of spat with the Chinese. To have China, which was the initial source of the COVID-19 pandemic, now be approved for the EU's safe travel list. Because, there is a lot of political there is a lot of politicking, I'm sure, that goes into the negotiation of these travel bubbles. Because, yes, there is legislation and there is standardization and regulations that need to be all brought into some kind of internationally approved standard. But there's also, you know, we've spoken about travel bubbles before on The Breakfast Grill as well with Dr. Mario Hardy of the Pacific Asia Travel Association. And the worry is, of course, that if you do something else that may not be in line with what the original country, the host country of the travel bubble wants, then you could be excluded from that bubble. How is that going to affect your tourism numbers, for example? So there's a lot of discussion that's going to need to happen as countries start to reopen their borders. But right now we have some messages for you. And then up next, we're going to be taking a look at the front pages of the newspapers. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Islands by the XX, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Roshan and Xiaoning. Now, it's 6:49 a.m, Wednesday, the 1st of July. We're officially into the second half of the year, and for this momentous occasion, we have something very special for you right now, which is the newspapers, as we do every morning.
I thought you were going to spring a surprise on us there, Lynn Mark. I had no idea where you were going.
Break out the
with
confetti.
That.
Yeah, no, sorry. We've just got the papers. The Malaysian Reserve is in front of me this morning, and their headline here is Changing of the Guard Continues at GLC. So we touched a little bit on this, the fact that PNB looks to be having a new top leadership. And so this is a continuation of that story, talking about how there are speculations over who's going to be the PNB's new chairman as Megat Najmuddin takes the chairman post at Sime Darby Plantation. There's also a smaller article here talking about consumers risk bankruptcy if the loan moratorium is not extended. And this has been a conversation, I think, that's been happening over the past couple of days or so, because now it's up to the banks now, basically, what they want to do with the moratorium. And so far, we've already had a couple come out to say that, yeah, an automatic moratorium extension is not going to happen. But targeted moratorium extensions may still be a thing.
Yeah, I'm more excited about the fact that today, July 1st, marks the day that almost all businesses, basically all businesses can get back to normal.
You can go swimming now, can't you?
You can go swimming, of course, with the SOPs and basically, like the NSC's front page says, freedom within limits. I'm just excited for the option of going to the cinema and watching movies once again. But it also just, it's a step in the right direction towards a semblance of normal life, right? And we've got this RMCO till the end of August. Right now, our cases, according to the NSC's front page, we've had a total of up to June 30th, 8,639 cases. Two new yesterday, recovered 8,354, and total deaths of 121. Relatively speaking, those are some really good numbers, even if you look, don't even look at the US, just compare it regionally to other countries our size there. And also on the Star's front page, we have the headline, New Lead Surface. This is regarding the arrest of a former Penang Port Commission chairman in connection with the reopening of a probe with regards to the Penang Undersea Tunnel mega project. This is by the MACC, I think, the Anti-Graft Authorities.
And Xiaoning, you are coming to us from your home this morning, broadcasting from remotely. So you have a portal in front of you. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing the HCO Morning Brew. And the headline is Market Rally Needs Earnings Recovery. Okay, I'm
going to
stop.
It's okay, Xiaoning. Just the sound effects that we're employing today. It's just part of the... That was the surprise that Lynn was talking about earlier. If you flip over to page 3 of the Star, interesting news this week. Art Harun apparently being tipped to be the new speaker. Again, a lot of talk this week. There was apparently he's resigned as EC chief, which has then further propelled these talks. In fact, I think Bursa has launched a little bit of a petition here to retain Tan Sri Arif, Mama Arif, as the Dewan Rakyat Speaker. Again, lots of complications, lots of developments around here. And this story was on page 3 of the Star if you want to check it out.
Yeah, so page 2 of the Malaysian Reserve also has an interesting article here talking about a temporary measures bill which is being drafted to try and mitigate the economic downturn. So, you know, I think this is good news considering the fact that we've been calling, many others have also been calling for some kind of a COVID-19 bill to help businesses bridge the kind of pain that they're expecting to see through this movement control order, through the recovery period. So apparently now this is in the works. So this was coming from International Trade and Industry Minister Dato' Sri Muhammad Azmin Ali, who said that a Malaysia Productivity Corp has been tasked to manage and administer online consultation platforms to gauge the public's view, which might be considered in the formulation of this temporary measures bill. So there is a little bit of a silver lining here, it seems, to this parliamentary sitting. But then, you know, this parliamentary sitting is going to be very eventful, I'm sure, when it starts on July 13th.
Yeah, it is. It is all comes down to this. Pakatan Harapan still needs to pick its PM candidate. And I think the importance of that is that if a vote of no confidence does happen to go through or happen during the parliament sitting, if that goes through, the opposition in Pakatan Harapan needs to have a candidate that they all rally behind, or Pakatan Harapan Plus, or whatever it is they're calling themselves nowadays. They need to have a device that they need to have a candidate that they can rally behind and clearly state that this is our pick for prime minister, and so that we don't fall into basically what happened in February.
Yeah, so this is the question for me, right? When it comes into when we're heading into this parliamentary sitting, if Art Harun has indeed been tipped as the next Dewan Rakyat Speaker, that means he's no longer EC Chairman. That means who takes over at the EC if snap polls are suddenly something that we need to deal with come the third week of the month.
Yeah, and of course, this story that we cited earlier in the Star was sources within the EC speaking mm-hmm. to the Star there.
But again, the Malaysian Insight also had the story Insight, yesterday.
Yeah, and you know, this really brings up the whole question of, okay, fine, that happens. Then what happens to the EC? Because a lot of the commissioners were brought in with along with Art Harun there. How does this play out? You know, a lot of the electoral reforms that we were talking about over the last few years have been interesting to see, and I wonder whether they continue going forward. And I think Lynn, you had a grill with the Electoral Reform Committee Commission talking about mm-hmm. proportional representation, which is a fantastically fresh idea. The report was supposed to be given August, actually next month. It was a 2-year study. Who knows what's going to happen there?
It's just in limbo right now, I'm sure, as with a lot of other things post the change of government. So, you know, lots of things still to be watched out for. But right now we are heading into the 7 o'clock news bulletin, and then we're bringing you more business news and analysis. But first, We're All Made of Stars by Moby, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.